Hey, is your company on a fast track? Revenue and sales continue to rise at a fantastic rate. You're on a hiring and expansion frenzy just to keep up. The future looks bright. Well, congratulations. These are terrific problems to have, but ones that will undoubtedly come with missteps along the way. When that happens, you need permanently damage, or you could permanently damage your current and future growth prospects if you don't communicate the issues well to employees, customers, business partners, and investors. We'll learn how to prepare for and communicate through these all too common situations to ensure that you stay on track with my guest, Dave Oates, on today's Profit with a Plan podcast. Hey, entrepreneurs, are you trying to make bigger profits in your small business? If you're like most of us business owners, increasing your profitability is always on your mind, and you're probably looking for ways to grow your revenue while growing your company. Well, you've found a podcast that shares ideas to help you do just that. I'm Marcia Reiner, known as the Profit Booster and a business growth strategist. I've helped tons of small business owners to establish and implement a tangible plan that guarantees increased profitability, guide your growth, and plans for a future exit. Because building a highly profitable and sale-ready business creates a win-win scenario. That's more money now and a windfall when it's time to let go. And I want to share strategies that I've learned with you on today's Profit with a Plan podcast. But before we get started, I have something special to share with you, my podcast audience. How would you like to supercharge your business, avoid profit plateaus, operational headaches, or growth roadblocks? Well, I've created a brand new Profit Booster playbook just for you. You'll uncover three essential strategies and the quick way to take action on them. Now, this is not just a single-page report. It's filled with impactful strategies, actionable steps, and expert guidance to help you elevate your profits. Go download it for free at boostingprofit.com. All right, I'm excited to have my guest on today. I've been following Dave for a long time. Dave Oates possesses nearly 30 years of strategic public relations experience dealing with a wide array of adverse public events, starting with the U.S. Navy Public Affairs Officer and later as a corporate chief marketing officer and nonprofit president. He excels in expertly addressing the myriad of crises that span sports, entertainment, nonprofit, military, government, corporate, education, charity, and startup environments. His crisis communications experience includes handling contentious matters involving highly visible, multi-generational, family-owned enterprises, as well as employee and executive misconduct, cybersecurity attacks, public recalls, mass layoffs, large-scale accidents, criminal investigations, and civil litigation matters. When you need somebody to help you get the calm down, Dave is your man. So, Dave, thank you for coming on Profit with a Plan podcast with me today.
It's great to see you, Marcia. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. It's been a fun day, and I'm just loving my podcast and bringing guests, experts like you on to share some ideas. And I just have to say how much I really love your candid videos on social media where you're just
I
taking
appreciate
on
that.
something that happened and you're like, hey, now if they did this or if they did that, that would have handled a lot better. And it's like I never thought of the solutions in the way to calm the waves that can really happen when something goes wrong in your business.
Well, every organization and its leaders are going to get caught up in some sort of reputation crisis, I'll say it. And I use that term loosely. It's going to be somebody calling their intentions into question. And look, it's easy for people to do so because we all have these wonderful little devices that we all carry in our pocket. So therefore, we're all broadcasters in our own right. We've got, with that little device, a camera, a microphone, and with our social media accounts, a distribution system. And we can do so very quickly, responding to our own emotions and calling other people into question. And so it's going to happen, whether you're a local mom and pop operation, or whether you're a very niche B2B company, whether you're, a small nonprofit, or you're the large conglomerates or the big visible celebrity or a large government entity, every organization of every size is going to be called into question. So with that in mind, it's not so much about avoiding it. It's how you respond when those matters occur, because they are. It's just the way in which we operate and communicate as a society now. Right or wrong, that's just how it is.
And it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when it happens, because
100%.
My goodness, you could be, walking your kid to school and the police are, handcuffing a guy on the side of the road. Now everybody takes out their phones. But I mean, you're right. It's so common that your emotions in the heat of the event are going to splurt out some stuff. And I think you as a business owner, how you handle it is the way that you can make lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah. And look, if you're a business owner, a founder, somebody who has put their identity, at least in part, if not in total, to the entity to which you lead, well, of course, you're going to take somebody's question of your integrity personally, right? This is an extension of who you are. And so the natural inclination is to fight back with anger. And that comes from a place of animosity. I mean, somebody just called you out. Whether you intended to disparage somebody or not is irrelevant. And so you're going to take that personal, right? So I've seen it where organizations will respond with equal anger and vitriol and defense. And all you do is you raise the noise level. Right? You don't diffuse the situation. And I tell everybody who listens, two cardinal rules in every response to a crisis matter like that, a reputation issue. I don't care who you are, what size of the entity, profit, nonprofit, government, whether you're in California, whether you're in New York, whether you're in Peshtigo, Wisconsin, it doesn't matter. You got to respond with two different traits. You have to respond with empathy and action. And by empathy, I don't mean you have to admit wrongdoing if there's none to be made, right? If somebody's taking a pot shot at you because they misunderstood something, fine. But recognize the anger and the disenfranchisement, right, that people feel, right? They feel like they're voiceless. They feel powerless. And that anxiety left unchecked always converts to anger. And it's so easy to do so when somebody can just take out their phone and make a quick recording on that. So if you acknowledge that you hear them and then follow up with action, how you'll clarify the record. Or look, if you screw up, we're all human. We all don't hit it out of the park every time. Then take that opportunity to rectify the situation. And in doing so, you'll find that the emotions and the temperature drop almost immediately. And people start to get back to normal operations. That doesn't necessarily mean that the person who's making the accusations is going to calm down. If they're angry, they're angry, right? And they're not coming off the ledge. But you'll find that everybody else who's sort of paying attention to this video reel or posting or review on Yelp, Google, Facebook, Glassdoor, whatever, they're not going to take it seriously. They're certainly not going to give it equal weight. And therefore, they're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And that's paramount, no matter what the issue is and no matter what the size of the company is. But particular to the point of this podcast is, if you're in a growth spurt, right? If you are just seeing this hockey stick start to really take off, right? You're on that tread and you're
running
along with the rest of the team, right? Just to fill orders and conduct services and make sure everybody's happy. You're already stressed, right? And you're already probably stretching your operational limits, trying to build more capacity as you're filling this. Things are likely to get missed. It's just a matter of course. And so when that happens, expect that somebody's going to be irked and make sure that you communicate with that empathy and action and let people know. I've seen it where large companies did an amazing job when they ran out of product. Now, I'm a bourbon drinker, among other spirits. And Knob Creek, if you remember, this is about a decade ago, they ran out of product. Now, keep in mind, the Knob Creek brand that we all often buy ages for about 9 years. Now, think about that for a minute, right? You have to predict what your demand will be a decade from now and how you're going to meet that. Well, Knob Creek's brand started to take off, right? They were on this growth trajectory. So they ran out of product. The company put out full page ads in papers as well as online with their bottle that was empty with an apology, but said, we're making it as fast as we can, but look, we're not going to put out product before it's ready. We still want it to age 9 years because we feel, based on our experience, that's when it tastes the best. And that's when the quality of our product is ready for your consumption. We will not lower our standards just to provide you product.
Love it.
And it was brilliantly done. They apologized. They showed empathy. They know they were frustrating customers. But the action that they took kept with their standards and said, please be patient with us. And within months, you know, the supply chain got back, right? Which is pretty phenomenal considering that, again, it ages for a decade. I thought it was one of the best experiences of how to address a matter that diffuses a situation pretty quickly when you're in a growth spurt, right? Which is hopefully what the problem of most of your listeners and viewers are having right now is they're just pulling their hair out, trying to keep everything together as they're bringing in more money and more profits than they've ever had before.
Well, I think you hit on about a dozen different points that, you know, that really resonated with me here. But I think we're not just talking about communications with the consumer, which, you know, Knob Creek obviously now had instead of a $40 bottle, they can, if you found one, it was now $100. So kudos to Knob Creek for that. But in thinking about, it's not just the exterior, it's also the interior, right? Because if you didn't treat your employees well during that process, they're not going to want to work for you much longer, or they may do something to sabotage in their anger to go do it. So that communications goes across the board for everybody that you're talking to, even a spouse
Thank
at
you.
Times.
I'm so grateful that you brought that up because it's the cardinal rule in prioritizing the audiences. And look, I bill myself as a crisis PR guy, but I'm really more of a communications specialist dealing with adverse matters. Because when you think of PR, most entities, most people will just envision how you respond to a reporter or a news outlet. Well, in this day and age, everybody, again, is a broadcaster.
Everybody's a newscaster.
Right. I certainly, you know, want to concern ourselves over what a reporter may write about, but I'm far more interested in ensuring that your stakeholders hear from you directly, starting with your employees. And I don't care what the organization is. Not only do you express empathy in action, but you better tell your staff first what's going on. You want to arm them with the information that they need when they're talking to your customers, your business partners, your folks and stakeholders, or just the people in their inner circles when they go home at night, because they're your best form of marketing. And if they respond to inquiries from a wide variety of people with, I have no idea what's going on, no one's talked to me, this place is just chaos right now,
falling apart.
No matter what you say in a press release or a social media post, you'll get undermined because you haven't armed your most important asset, which is your people, with the information that they need to do their job. And by the way, if you do that, now they feel empowered. They're going to help you get through the situation faster. You won't also lose them at a greater pace in a crisis, because if they don't feel empowered and they feel like you don't have it, guess what? They're jumping ship. They're going somewhere else to work. That happens all the time. So employees first, then talk to your client base directly second, then your business partners, the ones who are aligning their brand to you, at least to help you, you know, perform your product fulfillment and service fulfillment or whatever your offerings are. And then your investors or your donors or your other stakeholders. And yes, that doesn't mean that you delay for a day talking to news organizations. That all should happen simultaneously, but you have to default. It's in that order. And news is last. So if 15 minutes beforehand, you got to tell employees and customers, do so, and then put out your press release. Whatever you need to do, go inward to outward instead of the other way around. You'll save yourself a lot of heartache and get through a situation faster.
Brilliant. And I think people just normally, like when you're in a stressful situation, you tend to react, right? And put out the fire that's burning in front of you rather than thinking, how can I strategically make the best out of a situation and do it? Because this is all for long-term growth. And as I mentioned before, it's not if, it's when something happens. And it could be anything, Between employee relations, a bad product, an accident with a driver. I mean, anything could happen or will happen to business owners if you're in business long enough that you've got to think this through. And I love that if you have a standard operating procedure in place, right, that says talk to the employees, talk to the
Right.
customers, talk to the vendors, talk to the investors and business partners that way in that order, then you're not reacting and making it worse.
Yeah, look, the adage is true, right? An ounce of prevention beats a pound of cure. And that's overused, and everybody gets it. And we all talk about risk management strategies. And I get why those don't necessarily get priority, especially for fast growing organizations. You just don't have the time, right? You've got the potential fires that are more theoretical in nature. And then you get the real ones, right? Which is, how do I get this product out? How do I fulfill this order? How do I get this? Oh, this person just called in sick because they got this, whatever, right? You're
Exactly.
at capacity, but do yourself the service of at least taking some moment working on the business and saying, what are the things that could go wrong, and how would I, at least if you don't put down a full risk management and communication plan ahead of time, at least have some sort of semblance about how you would work that and communicate that forward. And if you don't know, bring in somebody for a consultation, at least for an hour, pay for their time and do that. If not, put together a full strategy. Because if you don't do that, and I've seen this happen, I'll give you another example. It happens to be in the spirits industry. That's not because that's where the majority of my business is. It just happens to be some great stories. But if you don't do that,
We like to
a
drink.
lot of good,
Okay.
well, it's probably true. I'm half Irish, half Italian, right? Mom brought the wine, dad brought the beer, everything was good. And that's, things like that. But my point is, I've seen it where all of your wonderful achievements and growth prospects can get wiped out in an Instagram post, right? All that hard-earned effort, now you're starting three steps back. And by the way, now audiences are a little more skeptical about trusting you. Employees coming to work for you, customers coming to buy for you, partners coming. It's going to be that much more costly to get back to that footing. There was a case where a OEM manufacturer of a big brand name company, where retailer, they were making vodka for them, and it was being branded under the company name. They had to recall about 1% of their product. 1%, not a lot, relatively
Enough.
speaking, because the taste wasn't right. They had a manufacturing snafu, and the flavoring just got mixed up there.
Which is
But they
normal.
waited.
That's, yeah.
Happens, right? Happens all the time. And operationally, they pulled as much of the product off the shelves as they can, and so there was a small amount that made it on the consumers. Not a relative big deal, statistically not a problem, except again, everybody's a broadcaster, so those individuals started talking about how bad tasting it was there. And for that small amount of product, caused a big headache for the retailer that had to put out a communication saying, please return the bottles. And by the way, here's the contact information for the manufacturer. You can go ahead and call them. But it wasn't just the customers that called them. It was TMZ, it was New York Post, it was AP, and they didn't respond for a week. So the story goes out there, the social media folks go and check. Now what happens is all of their other private label lines are now being questioned by those partners to say, do you have manufacturing issues with that? Even their bank was calling them.
Oh my
And
goodness.
so here's where an ounce of prevention beats a pound of cure. Did they get through it? Yeah. Did they lose the contracts? No. But the amount of time they had to spend talking to organizations that delayed orders, that delayed shipments, that delayed revenue. Oh, and by the way, drew into question about proper insurance they had in there. Now everybody's taking their time to verify that all of their operations were intact and that this was an anomaly. Months later, this could have been resolved in a week, communicated to staff, to their clients, to their partners, and be ready for media. And instead, 6 months later, they were still having expenses on their P&L statement and on their and cash depleting to deal with this matter. It set them back easily 3 quarters.
Oh
And it
my
was
goodness.
unnecessary had they worked in communication plan. So an ounce of prevention beats a pound of cure.
Unnecessary. And you know what, Dave, you brought that up. It's like this can be done Now, my audience tends to be smaller companies, mom and pops,
Sure.
growing companies, but they're still growing. And one of my guests last year, I think it was, suggested that you take an hour every month on a Friday afternoon and you encourage your team to take an hour every month paid, where they work on a process or they work on a procedure that they could do. This is a high priority one that it may not come for years down the road, but if you have something in there, it takes you an hour to come up with a what if strategy and what would we do? And then you file it and you're done. Right? It's
Yeah,
not like it's, thousands and thousands of dollars in manpower to go create something that could save you an insane nightmare, three quarters of problems when it could have been handled in a week. Come on.
seriously. And that's not an over-exaggeration. You're right. It doesn't take a lot of time. It takes more discipline to do so. And look, I don't mean to be holier than thou. I get it, right? Everybody's got others to work on there, right? It's the same thing. Like, we should all exercise more and we should all eat better, right? But we know if we do,
Coulda,
we're
shoulda,
going to stave
wouldas.
off, right? We stave off bigger problems down the road. But your point is well taken. It doesn't take a lot of time. It takes discipline. But I want to go back to your great point about the audience who are mostly smaller businesses. So I get also a lot of business owners and executives of small to mid-sized enterprises that will say something like, I'm too small. I'm too niche. I know everybody. I don't have to worry about that. Actually, those are the ones that wind up having bigger issues and threats against being able to continue on, whether that's on a ransomware attack that disrupts operations or some customer, because you probably have a greater concentration of customer base than the larger entities, right? So one ticked off entity can really cascade into a bigger problem for you. Secondly, is that you don't have the resources, you don't have the ready cash, you don't have the capabilities to stave off a big public brouhaha. And by the way, it's as easy for somebody to take a pot shot at a smaller organization on Instagram and have it go viral. It's just as easy to do that as it is to take on a big global entity.
I was
So
gonna
consider
say,
yourself, yeah.
yeah, you're not in the, it's not about being on the news. It's about that silly little phone and social media that could kill everything in
Yeah.
just a heartbeat of some one person that says, oh, you wanna know what happened? And then you're in trouble, right? And you're losing customers and you're losing customers at a small business. A small growing business is way more impactful than losing a couple of customers if you're at Amazon.
Yeah, I've seen small entities that got hit with a handful of customers that blew them up, and literally they closed up shop. There's a manufacturing company that basically ignored the complaints by local residents to the point that it started to cascade virally and then got hit by the press. I got in about that time, and they just couldn't recover from it, even though we talked about all the things they're supposed to do. They spent a third of $1 million fixing a matter that was causing basically non-toxic but not pleasant fumes out of this manufacturing plant. At that point, it was too little, too late. They actually closed the operations about a year later because they just couldn't get ahead of it, right? Had they worked on it about 8 months beforehand, they probably would have been fine, at least for the long, foreseeable future without interruption. That didn't happen. And that's unfortunate, right? And again, a small company, they employed like 30 people. They were regional in their distribution, and they couldn't
And kill
get
them.
past it, right? It ultimately killed that business. And not because anybody was purposefully trying to be evasive or purposely trying to be manipulative or intentionally trying to be deceptive. Not at all. These were good people trying to do good things. But if you ignore the signs and the signals that start in a social media realm or an online format because they feel like these are unqualified people who don't know what they're talking about, we're not going to dignify that response. I get a perfect example about how, if that left unchecked, can take down your organization. And you're right, half of the stuff that I work on doesn't make press coverage, but is equally disruptive to their operations of entities. And that's not anywhere in specific, right? That's on the East Coast to Northern California to the Midwest. I've done those type of entities, and yeah, it's just as damaging, if not more.
And I think it could be, and I think, you know, when that person, the person that started that small company that you just described, had they had been heard and listened to and addressed, oh, I'm so sorry you're feeling this way. What, here's what we're trying to do, right? And solving your problem, they probably would have went away.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, it's unfortunate. They were just like, look, we just really they were they just didn't see it, right? And it wasn't because they weren't trying to give it the due. They just didn't understand. So look, here's what I hopefully this doesn't sound doom and gloom so much to the folks that are listening, because here's the thing to consider. Even if you don't get any business from your Instagram account or LinkedIn or whatever, you don't do a lick of online ads. Your reputation is being discussed in the online formats, and you should participate in that at least for a conversation. So you have just as much power as a naysayer to broadcast all the good stuff you're doing. Don't abdicate your opportunity to promote your brand in a format that has some degree of influence. Because even if people go into your storefront or call you, or you're a B2B company, so it's all about contracts and with particular industries. There's somebody makes a reference to you, or somebody refers you in, or somebody says, we should consider this organization in an RFP. Somebody's going to Google you.
Somebody's
Somebody's
gonna
going to
troll.
search for you. Somebody's going to check all your social media and see what people are saying. And if all they see is people talking bad about you, then it's going to at best slow down the decision making for somebody to actually close with you. Worst case scenario, they just walk away and go somewhere else. You don't even know that you lost that money. You don't even know that money was on the table that you just walked away from, because they will never talk to you. But that's exactly what happens. So
Exactly.
please take advantage of that. You have the power, you have the capabilities. It's not a lot of time. Do that there. You can do this, right? You don't have to just be subjective to reacting. You have the capabilities to it. It doesn't take a lot of time. So I hope that comes through in more of a hopeful tone than maybe we're given in this portion of this podcast right now.
Yeah, well, you know, you handle PR crises, or crisis PR, so it's going to be in your nature to have a little, you know, gloom and doom in it. But in the reality, you know, a lot of people don't do anything until they're put in front of a firing squad, right? So
Right,
maybe this
right.
kind of conversation, even though it is a little on the, you know, aggressive side, will get somebody to think, oh, I don't want to be on the firing squad. How about if I did a little, you know, outreach or pre-early planning, or even just having a good conversation and try and outfit it. Now, here's something that, you know, even a Yelp review is a communication opportunity,
Sure. Oh,
right?
without a doubt. Yeah, I tell people, I don't, you know, again, no matter what type of business you're in, if you have a Yelp, if somebody's made a Yelp review, you know, a review on Yelp for you, you should own that Yelp account, and you should at least listen to the conversations. And when somebody voices displeasure, please be ready to answer again with that empathy and action. And I get this as well. Somebody goes, this reviewer is just total BS. They were never a customer. They were never a client, but I think it's a rival. Perfect way to answer that. You still respond with empathy and action. Hey, thanks so much for voicing your opinion. We always want to hear from folks. It means a lot to us. By the way, we can't find a record of you actually being a customer. Would you call this number or email us there so we can correlate and see if we can fix that? Again,
Yes.
you're not trying to change the reviewer's mind, especially if it's a fake one, but you're telegraphing to everybody else who's going to look at that and try to gauge who you are as an entity, that maybe they shouldn't take this review at face value. Maybe they shouldn't really give it the full weight because it's probably bogus. But you've got to answer that, right?
And the funny
You've got
thing
to be able to be there, right?
And the funny thing is that everybody looks at reviews and looks at social media, and they look at that before they make their decision. I heard from somebody that literally 60% of B2B decisions are made before they even pick up the phone to go, hey, Marcia, I want to talk to you about an opportunity,
Right.
right? They've already gone through, they've trolled you, they've looked at reviews and searches, and they're looking for information, they're looking at your post. All that stuff is done. So communications about your company and your brand are essential for how you're going to build revenue and grow profit. So why not have good conversations that are going on about you, and when, not if, when a negative or maybe displeasing conversation occurs, address it head on, but not with your fists up, but with empathy, as you mentioned. This is, it's
100%.
Like, if we could, if only everybody would do this.
Well, and but it runs counter, right? We're look, let's go back to the small business executive, right? Who either founded the company or was early in on the organization as it was starting that, you know, that fast growth. What got you in that position, I don't care what your background is, largely is because you possess two characteristics. You ignored the naysayers, right? You tuned out people who said you couldn't do it. And you just focused your eye on the prize, right? So you didn't bother yourself with somebody who was disparaging you, at least early on, because you had a tunnel vision over this goal that you're now starting to achieve. Or if somebody purposefully threw an obstacle in front of you, you barreled your way through it, around it, over it. You didn't let anything stop you. And that's that fighter mentality. Those two characteristics, which got an organization to start the growth, now are actually detrimental to you addressing an issue that's starting to cascade, because that same fight or flight mentality, I'm not going to dignify that adverse response, or I'm going to fight like hell in defending my honor, will only elevate the responsibilities. If you say nothing, people think there's a there, right? They think maybe there's some truth to this, and because they're not responding. So they either don't care or they've been called out. Or if you fight like hell, now you look like there is definitely a there, because methinks doth protest too much. So those are the things that, while they've been absolutely important characteristics for people as they have built something from a small startup or nothing at all to now a sizable entity that's got some real fast growth prospects, that's great. But you can't rely on those in a time of true crisis reputation, because they'll actually be detrimental to you.
And another story, right? What got you here won't get you there. You know, you have to think differently. Now that you're a business owner, right? And a founder and a team, you have to think about things differently, because your employees are depending on you. Your customers are depending on you. Your family's depending on you, right?
Right.
And the community is depending on you to be the strength that you are wanting to be as a company. That's the responsibility of business owners, is to be responsible for who you are and the service and product you deliver. And so many depend on you. So act ahead of it.
I call it developing a emotion of being confidently vulnerable, being able to recognize that it's okay to sort of be introspective and see things for what they are, and recognize that you're enough, and don't necessarily allow your ego to rule how you respond. And it's easy enough to do, again, for all the reasons you said so, but as leaders develop, and as businesses develop, and as companies grow and grow fast, the need to develop that confidentially vulnerable trait becomes far more important the faster you go. Because again, as we said, so things are not going to go according to plan. They never do anyway.
It's a way.
But when they're moving at lightning speed, things get missed. Things get bumped, right? Cogs in the wheel don't necessarily go smoothly, and you got to add a little more oil to it. So just be ready for that. Be vulnerable, be respectful, be empathetic, be action oriented, be quick about that. And things will be fine, right? The bumps in the road will be just that, little bumps in the road that you continue on the path, and all is good. Don't make them into potholes or big cavernous, you know, sinkholes that'll derail you, right?
Exactly.
And it is preventable. And business owners and executives and the teams have the power to do that, because they also carry around the same devices that the naysayers do. And that's a beautiful thing. You have a level playing field.
You have the power.
You do.
I like that. You know, it's we can even this out if we act like adults and don't let our ego get in the way and handle the situation. I think it could blow over and be done with, and you move on.
in that spirit of vulnerability, I will show you, I've had to develop this confidentially vulnerable state, not only just in my personal life, but in professional, right? It was this, I've been in this business, as you were kind enough to say, for 30 years. Scares the ever loving crap out of me to say that. But I've been in this business 30 years. I am not the same PR guy I was when I started as a young Navy officer. You know, things would annoy me a little bit more than beforehand because there was such a, I would get really upset if things didn't go exactly right. And I can tell you stories about report stories in the press that would just annoy me about the unit that I was established in. Then now I go, they're nothing. And they could have, I could have done it far differently. So I speak from experience, and the battle scars to prove it.
Love it. Well, it's not saying that you should never get angry. It's how you respond to it, right? Keep the anger inside, close the doors, turn off your electronics, stomp up and down and kick and scream, and then come back out and go, hi.
Yeah. I'm not a therapist, but I see one. So we'll say it from this standpoint. Anger is usually a bellwether to another emotion that you are not in control over right now. It's usually signifying something else. And I said in the beginning, and I've seen this from experience in myself, anxiety and fear, if left unchecked, converts to anger. Anger is usually a signal that you feel, again, voiceless, disenfranchised, out of bounds, and there's nothing you can do about it. So you scream and holler at everything because you feel powerless to do that. And if you recognize that what it really is an anxiety and fear based emotion that anger is now showcasing in a very unhealthy way, then go back to that developing confidently vulnerable trait. Recognize how you can overcome this with empathy and action. And you'll find that in the end, as difficult as that is, because it requires some introspection, you'll get through the crisis situation in record time. You'll give yourself the best opportunity to maintain your operations and make it even stronger, because now the audiences will give you the space and the latitude to actually make things even better than they are beforehand and continue along that growth spurt, continue along that projections that you have that you work so damn hard to put together.
Love it. Wow. And we're human after all, right? Things are going to happen.
We are an imperfect being, and we continue to show that on a daily basis.
Awesome. Dave, I just see, audience, this is why I love Dave, right? Okay. You have been fantastic on here today. You've given us some really good insights. I know we didn't scare anybody. I know they're just going, wow, you're right.
I hope so.
Exactly. Right. That's the only place you're going to hear. You're right. Right.
Right.
So where can listeners find out more about you and how they can build a communications plan, maybe get prepared for when it happens and how to address it properly?
Totally. Look, if you Google me, like Dave Oates, Crisis PR, my LinkedIn page comes up, my company's page, PR Security Service, comes up, and you can certainly find me that way. But you're going to put the link that I had given you on a survey. People can take it. It's free, no obligation. They don't even have to put their contact information in there. It takes about a minute, and it's a quick 10-minute survey that will give them an idea based on a score they get afterwards as how prepared they are for a crisis in reputation management. And after they get the score, if they want, a 15-minute free consultation review, they can just put in their contact information. I'll give them 15 minutes of my time. No expectations of anything else, just to sort of walk through, here are a couple of things that I would recommend. Because I'm also a small business owner, and I'm also a person who's developed an organization like you. So if I can be just that conduit, that trusted agent to sort of help them along, and, karma is a legitimate currency, and we'll be doing, that will pay off dividends. And look, if there's something that happens and there's an adverse matter, or they know of somebody who's going through something like that, and they know where to find me, I'm a happy guy. So by all means, please take the survey, no obligation. And just keep doing what you're doing, but with vulnerability and great empathy and action.
Love it. Oh my gosh, this has been fantastic. All right, listeners, I hope you found a couple ideas to put into your business that will keep you in the profitability line and maybe avoid some troubles down the road, because It's not if, it's when, and why not be a little prepared for it and take Dave's survey, figure out where you are in it, take him up on the ideas. I know for a fact that, standard operating procedures and being a little bit more prepared is the way to make sure that you can weather any storms that come your way. So I definitely would have you take that up on it. As I mentioned before, how would you like to supercharge your business? Go download my new Profit Booster Playbook, packed with 3 profit strategies and the actionable steps that you can use to make this the most profitable year ever. And go grab it for free at boostingprofit.com. And Dave and I would love to hear your comments. What kind of PR crisis have you faced, or are you afraid of facing? Or even worse, what was one that you heard in the news and you thought, oh my God, that could have happened to me? Hit us up in the comments. Tell us what you think and we'll respond back and maybe give you some guidance on so you can kind of build that repertoire up for yourself. While you're at it, please subscribe. You can catch Profit with a Plan on any of your favorite podcast players. And we're looking forward to more great profitable information on next week's show. So until then, make your plans and profit with me. Thank you so much, Dave.
You bet.